The dangers of social media are real, but some simple precautions can help keep your kiddos safe. Hayes Police Detective Jeff Ridgway stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of The Post Podcast. We want to talk about, this is something that's come up in the news pretty recently, specifically Snapchat, but generally you want to talk about social media dangers and youth, right?
Yeah, in general, just the whole the social media platform that's out there that the youth are using nowadays have some concerns and some risks out there. They have their benefits, but also they just need to be aware of the cautions and concerns.
Yeah, because I imagine a lot of it is the anonymity of it, right? That you don't know who you're really talking to.
To some, you know, and it's really changed. Back when I was a teenager, our social circle geographically was much smaller, much the block or, you know, the immediate neighborhood. Now that geographical circle where they're socializing and where they're communicating with people has gone, in some cases, multiple cities down, because it's not uncommon for us to see teenagers who are regularly communicating with people in Colby or Goodland or Russell and, you know, in other communities, not just in Hayes anymore. So that circle has definitely opened up geographically and distance wise. So, and the challenge becomes is you really can't see or really know who that person is that you're chatting with. They may portray themselves as being a teenager. They may put up a picture that says they're a boy or a girl or, you know, whatever. But unless you actually see them in person, there's really no way of validating the information that's posted.
Yeah, and specifically the cases recently were exactly that. Somebody was playing, or one of them anyway, was somebody saying he was much younger.
Yeah.
And talked this young female into meeting up with him. And then she quickly discovered that, hey, this is not what it presented to be.
Correct. I mean, and that's exactly what happened. Portraying them as being a much younger than what they were, tricking them into doing something that was not what was on the game plan. You know, this is not what I bought into, if you will. So yeah, that is definitely a concern. And then that goes back to why, even if you make new friends or create that new accept that friend request from someone you've never actually met, I can't discourage you enough. Never meet them offline. If you have, you know, if you met them first online, it's just a really risky concept, especially for our younger generation.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there's some pretty, I would think, common sense solutions to that. Either meet them in a group if you're going to meet them at all. You know, take other people with you, let them know where you're at. And, the advice I always give to my kids is don't meet people you don't know unless someone else knows them. There's an in-person validation kind of piece to it.
That when you have those type of connections, and it's not just because Facebook says, well, this person is friends with this person.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that doesn't mean you're really friends.
Right. You need to make sure that when you actually are able to talk to somebody in person and say, hey, do you know somebody by this name? Do you know who that is before you accept? So again, you're trying to validate that that person as being legitimately who they are before you accept them. You know, so that's definitely a good thing. And if you are with hopefully not too many young teenagers doing it, but if they're older teenagers decide, okay, this is what I want to do, I've got parents' permission, and you know, parents need to have that conversation with their kids on what their expectations are, or even for our older adults. If you choose to meet offline, as you mentioned, making sure that those choices to meet up, you're in a public place, make sure you've shared with somebody you know and trust, hey, I'm going to go do this, maybe bring somebody else with you so that's just not a one-on-one. That will help bring that risk level down. I don't know if it eliminates the risk, but that definitely is a way to help reduce the risk.
Yeah, we're talking about this with youth, but this can be a problem for adults as well. I know there's been cases, not here, but in the past, we've seen like Craigslist, basically people trying to lure them in and to do damage or harm to them.
This is really not, you're correct in that it's not targeting just one particular age group. It does really hit across the spectrum. Now, what we do see more targeting to our youth is the ones that are trying to do more sexual exploitation, perhaps in the world of photography and stuff like that, where there are specific statutes that govern that conduct. So sometimes that will be more targeted to our teenagers and our tweens, if you will, those about 10 to 12. So yeah, I think I agree with you on that, that it's the concept of meeting people in the social, and trusting people through the social media. That's not just a teenager topic.
And, you know, you mentioned parents a little bit there, and I want to dig into that a bit. Like, what can parents do? And I know right now one of the challenges is there's constantly evolving and new social media outlets or apps out there. But what can they do just in general to help keep their kids safe?
I think your first starting point is you have to start the conversation with the kids. And you need to start it younger than older, just my opinion. And the more you can have that conversation, and maybe not just starting the conversation with social media, but just starting that relationship younger and building on that. That way, when they get into that tween teenage, you can easily bridge into that social media conversation and talking about what the expectations are from the family perspective, and even going as far as having them, the kids, invite the parents as a friend and share them as being a friend so that the parents can see what's being posted, can see those accounts and the information, you know, whether it be the feed that's on Facebook, or I think they're called stories in Snapchat, so that the parents can kind of see that and just have those open conversations, have those moments where you do the spot check of the phone. Hey, what's on your phone? Be reviewing those apps that are installed and researching a little bit. What does that app do? And is that app really a calculator or is it something else? You know,
yeah, we don't have time to get into all of that, but a lot of those apps can fake what they look like. Correct. And if you know what you're doing with the phone, you can change them too.
Correct.
It might look like, and that's why I think you mentioned calculator. It might look like a calculator, but it's actually a storage locker for files.
Right. So, and just being aware for parents, maybe consider using the parental controls that are available for the phones. I think most Androids and even iOS devices now have some form of parental control that you can help keep track of what's getting installed onto the device, or in some cases even monitor some of those communications that are being exchanged.
What do parents do if they found something that is concerning? What should be their first step?
You know, that there's a couple options they have. It's going to depend on what type of what it is, you know. Obviously, in Kansas and even under federal law, if we're talking about photographs and stuff that involve minors under the 18, those are not lawful when they are sexually explicit. And so the choices, you know, they can, if they want to reach out, call us. We'll be more than happy to help give them some guidance on directions we need to go. Doesn't need to be a criminal investigation. If they're not sure who the bad person is or where that person might originate, one option, but they want to report it, they can go to cybertipline.org. You can go there and they can report that website. And that's a website across the nation. It's operated by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And they partner up with the multiple Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force that are operated across the nation. And those reports get forwarded out to those local task force. And then they investigate those tips and those leads and try to identify those perpetrators in those reports.
Fantastic. Well, Detective, we've got to get to news, but anything else you want to squeak in right quick?
Just parents, make sure you have those conversations, open up that door, start that foundation, and also be prepared to listen and be careful about, you know, if something happens. I'd really be cautious about yanking that phone entirely away from a kid. Sometimes they'll go out and get a phone without you knowing if you took away theirs. So you got to find that balance that works for your family, because each family is going to be a little bit different. But just be prepared to have that conversation and be prepared to listen back and let the teenagers talk back and let them express what they're concerned.